This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. Thank you for tuning into the show. Before we get to the episode, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Today, another player shares his incredible football journey with us and talks about his life after the gridiron. You're going to love it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I am your host, Lyle Green. And once again, as usual, we have a great guest lineup for you today. So today we have former NFL player Ben Utek. So Ben played six seasons in the NFL with the Indianapolis Colts and Cincinnati Bengals. He got there as an undrafted free agent. So he went the tough way. He wasn't drafted, so made it as an undrafted free agent. He came out of the University of Minnesota, where he was a four-year starter. And while in the NFL, he won a Super Bowl. He won Super Bowl 41 with Peyton Manning and the gang with the Colts and versus the Chicago Bears. And now he is part of a international music group called Reborn, with some talented people there. Obviously, there's a Canadian there, so it's gotta be good with a Canadian in there. So he's got award nominated the Mark Masri as well as Andre Venter as part of the group Reborn, and they just released a new album, which is available on iTunes. And for more information on them, you can go to www.rebornmusicgroup.org. So Ben, thanks for coming on and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lyle. I appreciate you thinking of me.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Appreciate you taking the time to come on. So I usually start off by asking my guests to say something about themselves that most people wouldn't know about them. So what would that be for you? What's something about you that most people don't know about you?
Well, usually it's that I'm a singing football player.
Yeah, exactly.
because that's always kind of an interesting fact. Well, I think, you know, for most important thing in my life, Lyle, is family. And and so I'm a father of four beautiful daughters.
Oh, nice.
So I have
you got your hands
surrounded
full.
By five. Yes, sir. I'm surrounded by five women every day, and we call it beautiful chaos. But that
there you go.
That is that's probably my family fact. But I actually am a kind of a serial entrepreneur outside of music. I love opening new businesses, and so I have a few other businesses in the corporate industry that I focus on as well.
Okay, what other businesses are you involved with?
Well, one of the things that I was really passionate about coming out of a Super Bowl championship team with the Colts and Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy is the power of culture, the power of a chosen culture that's designed and practiced in order to get expected behaviors and performance out of your players. Okay. And, you know, Tony Dungy, he spotlighted this leadership style of servant leadership, which is a belief that if you build better human beings, you get better performers, right? So better men become better football players. Yeah. And I just saw that was a huge transition into life and business. And so I built a company called Management Essentials, which is a firm that focuses on helping companies choose their organizational culture and use a servant leadership style in order to get the best performance out of their employees. And that's been a huge passion.
Nice, nice. Okay, so we'll dive more into your businesses and stuff like that as we move along. But first, I want to go back to football a little bit and talk about how you got started in football. I'm sure most football players and athletes are pretty athletic. So, did you play other sports growing up as a kid?
I did. I was a three sport athlete. I was hockey, football.
Oh, hockey! Nice.
Baseball. Yeah, I was a goalie. I was a goalie.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Grew up in a big hockey fan. Oh, really? Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Canada has just an incredible history in hockey. And my grandfather, Bob Utek, was the rinkside announcer for the Minnesota North Stars for many years.
Oh, no way.
And so just a huge hockey state, obviously, in Minnesota. It's a state sport here. And And so I absolutely love that game.
Nice.
But football started early too. I mean, that started in fourth grade, and I was so blessed to stay home. I grew up in small river town of Hastings, Minnesota, on the Mississippi River, and had the chance to go play at the University of Minnesota, where I was a all Big Ten tight end, and then I had that chance to make a dream come true. And like you said, it was a tough time for me because I went undrafted because I had a very serious injury my senior year. I was one of the top tight ends in the country and was supposed to be a first to second round draft pick, and that injury completely destroyed that opportunity. So no team drafted me, Lyle, because I was a health risk.
Okay, what was the injury that you sustained?
Yeah, so I began to have what is pretty common today. It's called a sports hernia. And okay. It's these, you know, small little tears that happen in the lower abdominal muscles. But what happened in my situation is it went unnoticed. And as I turned to catch a ball against the Wisconsin Badgers my senior year, I felt popping across my lower abs.
Oh man!
And I had torn the abs from the pubic bone on both sides, and so it was a pretty serious injury. And you know, all of a sudden, I go from a potential late first round draft pick to not getting drafted at all, and it was just really a really difficult time. But usually, that's kind of when if you remain faithful, some incredible doors open, and they did through Tony Dungy. It's a kind of my miracle story to the NFL.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'd love to hear that, that path. But first, before we get to the, to NFL, how'd you, decide on choosing to Minnesota to go to the university? Was it just cause it's, your home state and close to home? Is that why?
Basically, okay. I had a lot of recruiting options. And I was, attending the University of Minnesota football camp after my junior year. And at the end of the football camp, they offered me a full scholarship. And the very next week, I was supposed to go to Penn State for their football camp. And I just, I just kind of took a step back and just realized how special it would have been to play in front of all of my family. You know, everybody was in Minnesota. And so I also believe that Glenn Mason was going to turn the program around, which he did while I was there. And so it was actually a very successful time to be a Minnesota Gopher, and it was the right move.
Nice, nice. And you mentioned being a hockey guy growing up as a kid. Did they give you a chance, or did you actually want to maybe try out for the hockey in university as well, or is it where you just focused on football?
It's funny you say that because I did think about it. The level of competition was very elite. University of Minnesota is multinational champions in the United States. They're one of the best hockey college programs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In America, and so I never would have played. I think it would have been one of those situations, especially because football was priority number one, where maybe I could have, been a second or third stringer, and that would have been fun, but I just really wanted to put all my attention into football.
Okay. Yeah, definitely understand that. And yeah, as you mentioned, if football was your major sport, then if you're only going to be maybe a backup, if you had a chance with hockey, then yeah, it's probably best to focus your attention on football. Okay, so let's talk about you're getting your opportunity with the Colts. So you mentioned Tony Dungy had a huge part to play in you and ending up getting a chance after your injury. So talk about making it to the NFL as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, that was a pretty, like I said, my miracle story, because I had this horrible injury. I didn't get drafted because of the injury. And I'm 2 months before the draft, I have a chance to speak at an event with Tony Dungy on the University of Minnesota campus, because he was also a former Golden Gopher.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And in front of about 600-700 people, I get up and I say, hey, coach, if you really care about the University of Minnesota, you will draft me in the upcoming draft. And every, just to put a little positive pressure on him. And he was gracious enough to kind of respond to that when he got up for his keynote and said to the entire crowd, you know, Ben, we drafted a tight end last year, so it's not going to be a huge priority for us this year. And then he paused, and it's almost like he was being downloaded, you know, something from on high, because he just, like he was, you could tell he was thinking about something. And then he came back to the mic and said, you know what, Ben, I'm going to make a promise to you in front of all these people. If for some reason you slip through the cracks, if for some reason you don't get drafted, I promise I'll be the first person to call.
Nice.
And, you know, everybody clapped, and, you know, kind of went in one ear and out the other. But you fast forward 2 months, so I don't get drafted. I'm driving up to my agent's office, holding back tears, embarrassed, unsure, uncertain of the future. Potentially my career is over, and all I have left is the free agent market.
Yeah.
And about 20 seconds after the free agency opens, the phone on my agent's desk rings, and I pick it up, and who do you think it was?
Tony
Dungy.
Wow.
And I just, in that moment, Lyle, I remembered that promise that he made in front of all those people. I'll be the first person to call. And he was on the phone with Hall of Fame general manager Bill Polian, and they were saying, Ben, we know how talented you are when you're healthy. We want to give you an opportunity to be a Colt. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you, we're going to get you to the number one surgeon in the country for this injury. We're going to ask you to not even play the first year, just sit out and rehab and get better. And on top of that, we will pay you as though you were a plain rookie.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I mean, that's unheard of. That is a testament to the type of championship culture that was a part of the Indianapolis system. And so I think that the miracle in that for me, Lyle, is after that first year of rest and rehabilitation, I earn a starting position as a tight end the next year. And I win a Super Bowl with this incredible team in 2006. And, you know, none of that happens without this, you know, horrific injury that I faced and overcoming all of that and a promise kept by a man who has some of the greatest integrity that the sport has ever seen.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that's a prime example of the integrity that he has, because a lot of times when, you know, people will speak and do public events and stuff like that and say things all the time, I'm sure people say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll give you a call, or sure, yeah, we'll do that, and never intend to do it in the end. But yeah, when he said he was going to do it with a man like Tony Dungy, you know that he means it. And sure enough, when the day came, you know, he got the call from him. So, like you said, man of integrity and a class organization to have, you know, people like him and Mr. Polian involved to do those type of things and to pay you as a rookie and as you sit out and just kind of rehab. That's, you know, it's a testament to that team, that whole organization for sure. And so you mentioned the disappointment and the tears that you had after the draft. So I'm guessing, first of all, when did the injury happen? Was it during the season in your senior year? And so you mentioned that they paid for the surgery. So how did that all go down? And were you expecting to get at least drafted by somebody?
Yeah, like I said, I had a number of teams that were very interested. But I was too much of a health risk. So, you know, that season ends and then you go through another 6 months before you get drafted and head to training camp at the end of July. And so I was at that first training camp, you know, had just come out of surgery 3 or 4 months prior and was beginning to rehab. And that whole year, like I said, became a time to recover and to learn the intricate Peyton Manning audible system and then to get ready for the next year. And so it was an incredible learning experience and a time for me to get ready get my body ready, and it gave me a chance to, you know, to have a handful of good years in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, for sure. So, yeah, you mentioned obviously playing with Peyton Manning and his intricate audible systems. Talk about playing with such a player like Peyton. Like, he's basically a coach on the field, and he had the authority to do certain things, I'm sure, that most quarterbacks don't get. So talk about having to, you know, learn extra stuff playing with Peyton Manning, and what it's like to play for such a great player and such a intense and football focused guy.
Well, Peyton, he makes everybody better. The minute he steps on the field, everybody's abilities rise to the occasion, and that's a powerful attribute to have as a leader. And so, you know, whether it was his pre-game preparation, which was unmatched, to his commitment to including every player on the field in the offense, Peyton was, you know, an all-around elite quarterback. He's one of the greatest because of those factors.
Yeah. For sure. So yeah, let's talk about your Super Bowl. So as I mentioned earlier, you won Super Bowl 41 versus the Bears. So talk about that experience and being able to be world champions of the NFL.
Yeah, really hard to put into words. You know, like I said, I came out of a small farming town in Minnesota, and all of a sudden I'm on a Super Bowl championship field playing in front of 101 million people. Prince was playing the halftime show.
Yeah, the halftime.
Another Minnesota native, and he was playing Purple Rain in the rain because it was one of only two Super Bowls in NFL history to rain.
Oh, that rained. Yeah.
It's a pinch yourself moment, Lyle. It's, you know, you kind of look around throughout the game, and you take things in slow motion, and I can still, you know, remember turning around and locking eyes with my family and my wife and close friends, and, you know, just this whole experience, you know, it was just hard to really put into words.
I had privilege of winning a Grey Cup, so not quite the same, but Grey Cup here in the CFL. So yeah, I kind of can relate a little bit to that feeling, being able to, you know, celebrate with your friends and your family and your teammates, and, you know, being able to say you're the best in the league in the world at that moment, and that can never be taken away from you. So it's definitely a once in a lifetime feeling, and a surreal feeling, being able to say you're a world champion, for sure.
That's awesome! Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about kind of transitioning to life after football. So you did finish up with Cincinnati, but let's talk about kind of the end of your career and when you started thinking about life after football and how you got into the arts, into singing and stuff.
Well, yeah, the end of the career was tough because it was an injury. I took my fifth documented concussion, which was on national television, on the show HBO Hard Knocks. Yeah. And that sent my career kind of in a downward spiral. It took me quite a while to be back to some kind of normal and clear to try and play again. And at that point, due to the nature of concussions, my wife and I made the decision to retire, and that was tough. That was really hard because you spend your whole life playing a sport, as you know, and it just becomes a part of your identity and who you are. Thankfully, I grew up in a family that really helped me find myself growing up. My dad was a pastor, and I had a strong spiritual identity. I had a strong identity in the arts, which I was really drawn to growing up. And I had already begun a music career while I was playing in the NFL. So that groundwork was already in motion. And so It was a saving grace for me because if I didn't have music, it would have been a really difficult transition. But music really allowed me to know right where I was going, and moved to Nashville for a few years, and really began to put the pieces of the puzzle together on how to slowly start to build a music career, which was also led into my speaking career on leadership and culture, and so that kind of began the process of the next chapter in my life.
Nice. And so you mentioned you started while you were playing. So you did you like have some solos, some singles out, or how did you start to your music career while you were playing?
Yeah, I just got into some fantastic relationships with incredible people in the inspirational music industry, and that led to having a management deal in Nashville and a distribution deal in Nashville, and finally a label deal. And so I was able to release my first self-titled album, Ben Utech. I think it was 2007 or 8 is when that was released. And, okay. And so, yeah, really my last year in the NFL, I also had that first album. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, I think it was a surprise to a lot of people. You always have to overcome stereotypes, usually when artists, athletes try to be artists, you typically get that eye roll and stereotypical reaction, which is, oh, here we go, here's another athlete, and usually it's not that high quality.
Yeah,
and so I think my whole life I grew up with musical training and instrumental training, and so it wasn't a joke for me, and so it was fun to be able to show people a different side to, a football player.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I I'm not a small person, 6'7", 250 pounds. So I think it's when I come out on stage, I definitely stand alone.
Get some looks.
And so so automatically you get people, you can just see it on their faces, like, oh boy, what's this going to sound like? And then I sing and the reaction is just like, whoa, this is not what I expected. So that's always fun.
Yeah, that's nice. It's always, most people, or a lot of people will think, because we're athletes, we're only focused on sport and whatever sport we're into. But as I've discovered over these interviews and stuff, that, we're all, multi-leveled people, and we have other interests and other things that we like. And, football is only a portion of our lives, and there's other aspects of our lives that we like and are interested in. Some guys find it earlier than others, but it's great that you found something that you love passionately as well as, or as much as you love football as well. So, did you find it harder to kind of establish yourself because you were an athlete, that people always think, oh, he's just an athlete? Was it harder for you to kind of establish yourself as an artist?
Yeah, I think it's been a difficult journey trying to establish yourself as an artist. It's a very unique industry, Lyle, because it doesn't really have an equation for success. What I mean by that is, you have some of the most incredible talents on the planet that will never be discovered for whatever reason. I mean, they can audition and they don't make it, or this or that. They get on a TV show, they don't make it, this or that. Because of maybe a judge wasn't feeling it that day, and then you get other people that are average, and they get the opportunity.
Yeah.
And you have, and that's not, as you know, whether it's Canadian football or American football, that doesn't happen in sports. Sports
definitely not. No,
has an equation, right? Only the best are going to be on the field. You can't kind of make it. You can't make it by any other way. And so you can, there's an equation for things you can do to get better as an athlete. And there is things that you can do to get better as a musician, but you really, you know, you really have no control over whether or not you make it, if you will. And that's the challenging part, because it's most by far, you know, what, 90 to 95% of artists are starving artists. And that's a tricky industry to figure out.
A tricky road to go, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a very, very subjective industry, I guess. And yeah, like you said, just people are superbly talented who never get to see the light of day, and their music or their art never get shown or exposed. And they have, like you said, the average people who aren't as talented, I should say, who explode because they have the marketing or the backing of the right people that kind of push them.
Exactly. So, maybe one truth about an equation that works in entertainment is money.
Yeah.
If you've got a lot of money, like you said, to be able to market and to be able to build a brand, then that definitely will help, because that really is what drives that whole industry.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So, let's talk about, what you're doing now. You have your new group, the Reborn. So talk about how you, formed that group and got linked up with another great Canuck in Mark. Talk about your forming of your group there.
Well, I had a chance to tour with a guy named Jim Brickman, who's a big American pianist. And the year before I toured with Jim, Mark Massery was on tour with Jim. And so I got to know Mark's music and was just taken aback, because he's one of the best male vocalists I've ever heard, and has been featured with David Foster multiple times, and has sung with, the list goes on, Lyle. I mean, you got to check him out, because he's unbelievable. And Mark and I became friends, and I called Mark about a year and a half ago, and we got to talking, just catching up, and I just really kind of felt like this voice inside was telling me to ask Mark about if he'd ever thought about starting a group. And I just said to myself, I'm not going to do that. I call it kind of the voice of God, because he came back big and strong again and said, no, I want you to ask him.
So
I'm like, I succumbed. I went for it. And I'm like, okay, Mark, I just feel like I'm supposed to ask you, would you ever want to be in a group? And he just started laughing, and I'm like, what's so funny? And he says, Ben, if you knew how many times I've been asked to start a group in the last couple of months from labels and from other artists, you'd think I was crazy. And he's like, last night I was on my knees, I was praying, and I'm just like, you know what, God, if you want me to be in a group, you got to make it clear and you got to make it quick. And here you are the very next day asking me if I want to be in a group. And I'm like, holy cow. And so, he said, yes. And just like that. And he said, I've got an acquaintance, that is on my heart that I'd love to ask about this. His name is Andre Venter. He's a South African who has sold over 1 million records worldwide. And so he called Andre in the same situation, just started laughing, and it was all just this kind of providential timing, and it all came together. And, but like I said, a year and a half ago, we all met in Nashville for the first time and wrote and recorded three songs in 16 hours, which is pretty unheard of. And it was like three long lost brothers. And, I'm a foot taller than both of them, but that's the way it is.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so so your new album is Reborn is available on iTunes. So talk about the music that you guys have put on there, and how did you guys write the music, or did you have writers? Yeah. How's that work?
Yeah, so we wrote most of the album. There's a couple of songs that were written by friends of ours and producer And so we did collaborate on the album. We really wanted our writing to represent what we believe as men. I think that, the three of us became really best friends overnight, and we learned a lot about each other, and we learned a lot about what we wanted to be as men. And there's a big focus on, there's a big focus in this group on really using that as a platform and singing to that as a platform. So, one of the things we're not writing candy songs, we're not writing sugar songs. We're writing songs with content and with messages. And like we have a song called "Man I'm Meant to Be," and it's really all about, three guys, three husbands, three fathers. What does it actually mean to be a real man to your wives, and so themes like that, and three powerful voices with a strong pop centric foundation. So it's the music is exciting and it's moving. It's not classical like the Canadian tenors or groups like Il Divo. It's more, pop focused, and exciting. And so we're really, really happy with it.
Nice. And yeah, definitely gonna have to check that out and have a listen. And I definitely encourage the
Yeah,
listeners to do that
please.
as well. Yeah, for sure. And so I know we're in COVID times now, so I'm guessing there's no tours or anything like that
Nothing.
planned, but is that something that you guys are looking to do down the road to have
Yep, we've lined
some
up
music?
some management and we've lined up some booking and promotion for next year. Everything that we're hearing is that kind of concert series, live concert series is going to be slowly coming back into the picture in 2021. And so I think that's kind of our best case situation is that we kind of gear up and hopefully that, the tricky part has been three guys from three different countries, And
Oh
so
yeah, so where are you guys all located?
Andre was in Cape Town and Mark is in Toronto. And Andre and his family just moved to Minnesota, believe it or not, on
Oh
a visa. And so we've got a I think we've got a better opportunity now in 2021 to, to see if we can slowly start building some, some momentum in that
yeah.
area.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be great if yeah, if you'd be able to do that. And I know I've seen in the news, I think in Europe, where they had some a concert where they've had people in different pods for like some outdoor concerts. So maybe if they incorporate something like that, that they can at least start with something like that and then kind of branch out as we get better with the COVID situation. But yeah, it'd be great to hopefully you guys will be able to. We'll be able to do that in the near future.
Well, and we've got to get, borders opened between the U.S. and
That too,
Canada.
yes. Yeah.
That'll be that. Obviously, that affects the group greatly because of Mark's situation.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not in our hands, and we serve a bigger purpose, and we just trust that it's supposed to be, it's going to be, I think that, we've learned a lot about ourselves as two, well, just speaking for Canada and the U.S., we've learned a lot about ourselves as two countries and
This country,
through this COVID process. And hopefully, I'm just really praying that, towards the end of this year and heading into 21, we're going to see, a lot of this alleviate and hopefully we'll get some of the medicine, available
out to
that we need
people.
to give us some peace of mind.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely making progress, and we're definitely getting closer. You hear all the reports of vaccines in their third stages and stuff like that. So yeah, we're getting close to hopefully being able to get things relatively normal to where they were before. So yeah, hoping and praying that we'll get there soon.
Yep.
All right, Spence. So yeah, I'd like to finish off with what I call the top of the mountain moment. So kind of looking back on your football journey and your career and all the highs and lows, the great accomplishments, the great moments. Is there a favorite moment or
Oh
favorite
man.
story? words of wisdom for youngers.
Oh my gosh.
You can
Well,
do
I'm
all
sure
of
this
those to put
happens
together,
too.
however you want to finish things off.
Yeah. Well, and thank you. And I think I've lived a really unique life because of the different things that I've been involved with. I would say the greatest earthly experiences that I've had have obviously started with my marriage to my wife Karen, and just being in the room for the births of my daughters. It was there's nothing like more miraculous than seeing life come into this world,
Oh
and how precious it truly is. Football, you just can't top the Super Bowl. It was just an incredible experience, and something I'll never forget. I think in music. We've got I've had the chance to sing for multiple presidents,
Oh, awesome.
and I've had the chance to, like I said, to be on tour with Grammy nominated artists, and I got to serenade Muhammad Ali at his 60th birthday party. I mean, there are
Oh,
some really cool memories that I'll just never forget. I'm 39, so I'm hoping for at least 20 to 30 more years of opportunity
lots more
and
great
memories to
experiences.
create. Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
And
Well, Ben,
now being on the
go
Lyle Green show, I mean,
ahead.
that's got to be one of the top
That's.
of the mountains right there.
There you go. There you go. Another one tick to that you've accomplished. Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time and for sharing your story and all the great things you've you're doing and continue to do. And again, encourage the listeners, please check them out. Reborn new album is out on iTunes. Check that out. You can also go to the website, www.rebornmusicgroup.org, to check out their music there. And yeah, if you want to share your any social media handles as well, if you want to do that, you can go ahead and do that.
Oh, no problem. Well, I'm on them all. So, Ben
Okay, there you
Usak
go.
on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And so those are all the same. And we also have Reborn the Group is our Instagram as well. So.
Instagram as well. Okay, cool. I'll put all those in the show notes so people can click on and get access to that there as well.
Awesome.
Awesome. So Ben, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and yeah, looking forward to hearing you guys singing in the future.
Sounds good, Lyle. Let me know what you think.
All right, Ben, appreciate it. Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Their support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.